The Gemara Chazal tell us a famous principle of Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze Lazeh. All Jews are responsible for one another. And in fact, it's not just a nice drasha, a nice sermon, but it's a halachic principle. As we used to, let's say, for example, every Friday night, that even though I fulfilled my mitzvah of Kiddush, if there's another Jew who hasn't heard Kiddush, then I'm allowed to make Kiddush even 100 times in order to ensure that every Jew fulfills the mitzvah of Kiddush, or if it exists by shofar. If there's only one person who knows how to blow shofar in shul, and there are three shuls in town, there only one person knows the bow shofar in the town, so you could go to each of the different shuls, even make brachas again and blow another 100 shofar blasts. There's Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze Lazeh. So the question is, how far does that go? My obligation to someone else, my obligation to another Jew, how far is one obligated to go? So clearly, if I could help someone do a mitzvah, I am obligated. And I'm obviously part of the mitzvah of Tochacha or Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze Lazeh to ensure that other Jews don't sin as well. So how far do I have to go? So as the Gemara says in Shabbos, V'chi omrim la'adam chata v'shiyo shizka chavercha, do we say, what about, should I sin myself in order to save you from a sin? So of course, what it means is, should I violate a lesser sin, me personally, to prevent you from violating a bigger sin? Obviously, to me, doing a bigger sin to prevent you from doing a lesser sin wouldn't make any sense. But logically, if I don't do anything, they're going to violate a biblical prohibition. But by doing something, I could stop them from the biblical prohibition. However, I'm going to violate a rabbinical prohibition. So the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph talks about it in the context of baking. So just a little background information. There are 39 prohibited activities on Shabbos, and one of them is ofel, one of them is baking. And if you bake on Shabbos, you violate a biblical prohibition, one of the 39 melachas. And during the time of the Gemara, there's a concept called Ridias HaPas. Basically, the process was that when you used to bake bread, they used to attach the dough to the walls of the oven. And then you'd have to remove the bread from the walls of the oven after you baked it. And that would involve a rabbinical prohibition of Ridias HaPas. So whatever the exact details are, it's basically if you cook something, you bake something on Shabbos, you violate a biblical prohibition. And part of the baking process during the time of the Gemara was, it involved, doing Ridias HaPas, taking the bread of the oven, involved a rabbinical prohibition. That's the second fact. And the third fact is, if I put dough into an oven on Shabbos, I'm not chayev for ofa for baking until the bread is baked. In other words, if I put the bread in the oven and I cook it, I'm going to bake, so then I violate an Issa Daraisa. However, if I remove the bread from the oven, so then Gemara says I'm exempt from an onesh. So the Gemara wants to know, let's say one placed dough in an oven on Shabbos. The Gemara says it's mutter to take the bread out of the oven before it bakes. Because better, the Gemara says, if you put bread in the oven and now it's in the oven, so if you don't do anything now, you're going to violate a biblical prohibition of ofeh, of cooking, afiyah. However, by taking it out now before it's baked, you'd only violate a rabbinical prohibition of Ridias HaPas. So the Gemara says one is permitted to do it. So we see, obviously, which makes sense, you're permitted to violate. Obviously, it's better not to violate any Avera, but if you're going to violate an Avera, the question is, should it, is it to violate a stricter aveira or a lighter aveira, of course you go with the lighter aveira. In the case here, better to violate Rediyas HaPas, taking the bread out of the oven before it's baked, versus the biblical prohibition of baking. However, the Gemara says, that's only if you put the bread in the oven and you take it out. What happens if your friend or your enemy or someone else put the bread in the oven? And now, you have the ability to take the bread out of the oven. But then save your friend from a biblical prohibition. The mitzvah Kol Yisrael Rei Lezeh, we want to stop our Jews from sinning. The problem is, by doing that, I'm going to violate an Issur D'Rabbanan. I'm going to violate a smaller sin to save my friend from a major sin. So the Gemara says, Ein Omrim. You don't say. You can't say to someone, sin, that you should sin in order to save your friend from sinning. So the Gemara says, that is the principle. That's how far Kol Yisrael Rei Lezeh Lezeh goes. You're not responsible. You should do everything possible to stop your friend, you know, within reason, from doing an aveira, but you don't have to commit a minor sin yourself to violate a major sin. And that gets into, I'm not going to get into, that's the many issues that come up in Kira Rechokim that, you know, that could be challenging issues. We could discuss it another time. It's separate. Maybe we'll get into the other topic of giving food to someone who's not going to make a bracha, or inviting non-observant Jews to your house on Shabbos and Yom Tov. We'll touch on these issues, but that'll be another class. So that's what the Gemara says. You're not allowed to sin now, or even a minor sin, to prevent yourself from doing a major sin. That's the Gemara. So, however, the Rishonim, the earlier commentators, give different exceptions to the rule. Like many rules, there are exceptions. The rule is, Ein Adam, Ein Omrim Adam. We don't tell someone he should sin in order to save someone else from sinning. A person shouldn't even sin a minor sin to prevent someone from a major sin. However, Tosis quotes a couple of exceptions to the rule, another Rishonim. One is, not all mitzvahs are equal. There's a concept of a mitzvah derabim. There are mitzvahs for individuals, and there are mitzvahs for the rabim. So there's a famous Gemara in Brachas, Mem Zayin Amabez, when Rabbi Elezer, he walked into Shul, and there were only nine men, and he had an Eved Kenani with him, and he was Meshacher, he freed his Eved Kenani, because the status of an Eved Kenani is that he's a quasi-Jew. So by freeing the Eved, discussion going to mikveh, what he has to do, he becomes a full-fledged Jew. So Rabbi Eliezer, in order to make a minyan, or that's the discussion exactly what was the mitzvah derabim, but the Gemara calls it a mitzvah derabim. It's a discussion, what mitzvah are we talking about? But that's also not for now. But the Gemara states, how could he go ahead and free a slave? There's an Isir Ase to free a slave. The Gemara says, mitzvah derabim shani. For a public mitzvah overrides, like we have by Noah Velus on Yontif, because the Gemara tells us the mitzvah derabim of Simcha overrides the private mitzvah of Avelus. So we find the concept of mitzvah derabim in many places. So the Rishonim point out, normally we say a person can't sin to stop someone from doing a major sin, but on a mitzvah derabim, like Rabbi Elezer, even though it's even a bigger kiddush, because he violated an Isser Aseh, and he, in order to people to have a minyan in Shul to do a mitzvah. So therefore we see that one is permitted to save someone on a mitzvah derabim, one is permitted. Others say, not only a mitzvah derabim, but a mitzvah rabbah, a great mitzvah. Well, all mitzvahs are great, so what do you mean a great mitzvah? So the Gemara tells us in Gittin, daf mem alef amid beis, that a owner, the master, is mutter, again, to free his Eved Kenani, his slave, that in general is prohibited because of Olam Hem Tavodu. For the sake of a great mitzvah, what's the great mitzvah? a mitzvah to marry and have children, a mitzvah pru revu. You can free a slave in order that the slave can get married and have kids. Because I guess, and pru revu, which, and the mitzvah of Shabbos are great mitzvahs, because without that there wouldn't be a world. So if we see another example, we permit you to violate an aveira for the greater cause in order that they do a mitzvah rabbah. And another category they point out, it depends on why the person is sitting. If the person is inadvertent or the go pasha, he wasn't that good, he didn't know, it just happened, like it wasn't his fault while he was doing it, so then you're able to stop it. Now, if someone did it unintentionally or will push up inadvertently, so therefore one can violate a minor sin in order to do a save from a future sin, a greater sin. Those are the exceptions. So based on this, the Rashba discusses a case that where the person is permitted to violate Shabbos, that his daughter was taken by missionaries and they're concerned that they don't go drive after them or Machal Shabbos, call the police, whatever you have to do, you're never going to see your daughter again, and therefore she's going to be in another religion. So the Rashba says, based on our Gemara, we see, Ein Adam, Ein Omer Adam, you can't tell a person desecrate the Shabbos to save the girl, because you can't sin to save someone else from even a greater sin. However, the Beis Yosef, quoting from the Bali Tosis and others, they argue on the Rashba and the Efa based on one of the principles we mentioned before, a mitzvah rabba. It's a great mitzvah because you're saving, if you save the child now, they'll be able to fulfill a life full of mitzvahs, but if they go to another religion, their whole entire life will be forfeited in terms of mitzvahs. And the Mishnah Berurah wants to qualify, the Chafetz Chaim wants to qualify this rule. It depends if the girl, if the guy, whoever it is, goes on his own to embrace another religion, so then the father is not permitted to violate an Issa min HaTorah, maybe an Issa d'Rabbanan. They can't violate an Issa d'Oraisa to try to get her back. Because he bases on the fact where Tosis says about one of the exceptions is Lo Pasha. It was negligent, it was unintentional. But if one decides to reject Judaism intentionally, so therefore his friend may not even transgress a Issa min HaTorah to save him. So perhaps that touches on the issue today, even maybe in that case, though we consider they know what they're doing. Maybe everyone's a tinuk shenishba, and they're people who voluntarily go in, so they don't really know, and therefore they wouldn't be considered a pasha. That, you know, that touches on a general issue, how we view non-observant Jews who are out of the fold, whether they're a tinuk, literally a tinuk shenishba is a child who was taken captive while he was a kid and barely knows he's Jewish. So many people today, no fault of their own, are brought up in secular environments, don't even know they're Jewish, or even if they know they're Jewish, they don't know what Judaism means. Therefore, one could argue today, even maybe that would be considered a mitzvah rabbah, even saving people who are volunteers. That's a discussion. It's all based on the principle of, it starts with the first premise, Kol Yisrael Revim Zelazeh, all Jews are responsible for one another, and even though it's a general rule, we don't say you should do a minor sin to save someone from a major sin. But as we see, there are exceptions to the rule. But sometimes it goes so far that we're even permitted to sin ourselves to save other people from greater harm. And either because of mitzvah derabim, a mitzvah rabba lo pasha. But the point being is, that's how far the mitzvah of loving another Jew and being responsible. So those are extreme cases where you have to do an aveira sometimes. But most times we don't have to do. It's not an issue of performing an aveira. It's an issue of just going ahead and caring and doing something. And then according to everyone, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh applies. And whether it's making kiddush for everyone, blowing the shofar, one has an obligation to ensure that every Jew fulfills as many mitzvahs as possible.